Tonight, if you want to follow along, I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. What do you think you're doing? You ever hear that question? Startled some of you, didn't I? That's usually a question that you hear when you've been caught doing something you're not supposed to do, or when at least the person asking the question thinks you're doing something that you're not supposed to do. In the passage tonight, Paul is, although he doesn't ask it as a question, he's essentially creating that kind of situation with the church in Corinth. What do you think you're doing? He's addressing the subject of the Lord's Supper, communion. And they thought they were observing the Lord's Supper, but Paul says, no, you're not. You're going through the motions, but you're not really doing it. Let's read the text, and then I want to do two things. I want to explain the situation, and then give some points of application. And that's it, briefly. But in the following instructions, verse 17, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Paul had just finished commending the church about obeying him in some areas, doing some good things. But here he says, I can't commend you in this. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. Would you bow with me? Father, as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that these verses from the pen of the Apostle Paul, Lord, inspired by your Spirit, would teach us, would instruct us, Lord, would perhaps rebuke and correct us. Lord, we pray that we would truly eat the Lord's Supper tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let me share with you briefly. Some of you are probably familiar with what was going on here. I mean, it doesn't sound like they were doing what we do. You would hardly call what we eat a meal, right? I mean, how were they getting full and how were people getting drunk? Well, one writer explains it, summarizes it, I think, pretty well. What exactly was going on here? The ancient Roman world at that time ran on a 10-day calendar, while the Jews, and therefore the Christians, ran on a 7-day calendar. The Christians were committed to meeting together each Sunday to correspond to the resurrection day of Christ. If they could not meet early in the morning, understanding that it was not for some of them a day off, all right? If they could not meet early in the morning, they would meet at night. And this seems to have been the case with the Corinthians. So the wealthy were able to show up well before others had gotten off work. Apparently, the wealthy believers were sharing a meal together, others joining in as they arrived, leaving those who arrived last, those who had least control of their schedules and the least resources, perhaps to find nothing left from the fellowship meal that they had intended to share together before the Lord's Supper. Instead, the latecomers would find drunkenness. In short, it looked a lot like the secular private dinners and feasts in Corinthian culture. So the meal that was intended to build fellowship ended up only bonding some of them together while leaving others out. Their table fellowship before the Lord's Supper was causing division. And that's the concept. That's why Paul says, don't you have houses to eat in? That's why he says here at verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. This does not mean it's wrong to eat at church. I know people who believe that. They take this text, and I've known people, I've pastored people who would not eat a meal at church because of this passage. That's not what this is referring to. It's referring to this situation where there was supposed to be a fellowship meal for the fellowship, for the body. And yet, because of situations, some were able to eat it ahead of time before others came, and there was nothing left. It was basically, it reflected a lack of love, a lack of respect, a lack of consideration for others in the body of Christ. So I want us to consider just 6 points of application. And I divided them into 3 don'ts, followed by 3 do's. Now, I could have probably come up with 20, all right? So be grateful. There are only 6. And I'm really going to mention them with as little commentary as possible. Number 1, don't substitute ritual for righteousness. Don't substitute ritual for righteousness. They thought they were eating the Lord's Supper because they went through the motions. They probably didn't eat what we eat or drink what we drink. All right? You can hardly call that little bit of thing bread. All right? I mean, it's kind of bread. But the symbolism is what counts. But they would have bread and they would have the cup, wine or juice, as the Lord's Supper. Paul says, you're not eating the Lord's Supper. Yes, you're going through the motions. You've got the elements there, but you're not eating the Lord's Supper. What is one of the other terms for the Lord's Supper, one of the most common terms for the Lord's Supper? Communion, right? There's no communion there. Paul says, you think you're communing with the Lord and with one another? Forget it. That's not happening. You are divided. Don't think because you're going through the motions, doing the ritual, that that's a substitute for righteousness. And by righteousness here, I mean right actions. Treating others the way they need to be treated. Loving one another as we are called to love one another. Not just in the eating of the Lord's Supper, but in everything that we do. So don't substitute ritual for righteousness. Number 2, don't be cliquish. Don't be cliquish. Don't get together and those who are haves or those who have certain things in common and don't have things in common with others, don't let that be, you know, your group and everything, because that's what was happening. The wealthy, you know, had kind of formed this clique. And they cared about themselves and the things of themselves, the things that mattered to them, and they really didn't care about the rest of the body. I mean, it was obvious. They didn't care about the have-nots. They didn't care about those who had to work and could only get there late. They were selfish. They were cliquish. Don't be cliquish. We need to think hard about what we do as a church and ask ourselves, are we, rather than doing things to bring the body together, are we doing things that really divides the body, that forms cliques, that aren't really concerned about many, if any, outside of our own little group? Don't be cliquish. Number 3, don't be selfish. And that goes right along with the other. Don't be selfish. We are called to follow the example of Christ, who was anything but selfish. being God in the flesh. He did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, Paul writes in Philippians 2. But emptied himself, humbled himself, and became one of us. And in humbling himself as a man, he went to the cross for us. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And when the disciples were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom, Jesus said, you know, it's lost people. It's the world that worries about that kind of thing, that wants to lord it over one another. You're not to be like that. Don't be selfish. Serve one another. So those are the three just real, I mean, they're there. Just right there. You don't have to be an exegete to get those, all right? And then three do's. Three do's. Do remember Christ and his saving work. That's what we read here. Verses 24 and 25, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ, when I say remember Christ and his saving work, I don't just mean as an individual, but as a part of the body, the bride of Christ. Jesus, according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, loved the church and gave himself up for it. He didn't just love me in my little shell, my little cocoon. He loved the church. We need to keep in mind that being a Christian is not just an individual private thing. Yes, it's a personal, very personal thing, but it's not just a private thing. We're part of the body of Christ. So remember Christ and saving work. Number five, do examine yourself in regards to the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. Verse 27 following, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. What does that mean? It means not to have love in your heart towards brothers and sisters in Christ. It means to be divisive. That's really, in context, that's what he's talking about. The sin here that we are to examine ourselves in regard to is our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the primary. Certainly there are other implications, but that's the primary implication application. Do examine yourself regarding Christ's body. That is, not just the body that went to the cross, but the body that's right here. Examine yourself in regard to your attitudes and actions towards the body of Christ. And then number six, do judge yourself by confessing and repenting of sin, especially sin against the body of Christ. That's what Paul says. He says, you know, there are some among you who are weak and sick, and some have even died. Why? Because of this issue, because of the division among you, because of your lack of love for one another. God will not tolerate that. So he's disciplining you. Now, if you will discipline yourself, if you will judge yourself, examine yourself, and confess and repent of your sin, then you will not have to go through that judgment, that discipline. So, as we prepare to partake of this ordinance, the Lord's Supper, if you are a baptized believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether your membership is here at Reynoldsburg Baptist Church or some other church, we invite you, welcome you, to partake of the Lord's Supper with us, with self-examination about these things. And I encourage you to remember why Christ did this. Yes, he did it for each one of us individually, but he also did it for us as a church, and he is building his church. So in a minute, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper the way we did the last time we had the Lord's Supper. Now, some of you perhaps were not with us, all right? It's a little different in that rather than the deacons coming to you, we're going to ask you to come to us. Pastor Greg and I will be standing at the front. I will be standing on your, down at the front, your right, my left. Pastor Greg will be on the other side. Each of us will have a tray of the bread and a tray with a cup. All right? So if you're in this section, you'll come to the center aisle, come down, and those on my left, your right, will come to me. Those on my right, your left, will come to Pastor Greg. The instructions are primarily for those who weren't here last time, for those with memories like me who just don't remember what we did. If you're in one of the outside sections, we're going to ask you to, as the pew that would be equal with yours or along the same way, as they come forward, if you'll get up and come down around the back and down the aisle, you'll figure it out. Now, we have deacons prepared to come to you if you cannot come down. So if it is a physical hardship for you to get up and come down, don't worry about it. There will be deacons with trays with the bread and the cup who will come to you. Now, as you get the bread, a reminder, we want you to go ahead and eat the bread when you get it. As a reminder and a symbol of your individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want you to take the cup back to your seat, back to the pew, and we will all take it together after everyone has received it as a reminder and a symbol of our corporate relationship with one another and to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are, we're going to ask you to move to the center aisle. If there's someone who can't get up that's between you and the aisle, just go out the other way, okay? I think I've covered everything. If not, hopefully you'll figure it out. I'm going to ask the deacons who are going to be serving, Mark and Greg, if you'll come forward, and Pastor Greg and I are going to come down, and we will give them the trays, and then we will be at the front. And as musicians play, y'all just get up, those in the front pews, get up first, and then just come.